Acts chapter 16, entitled the message, God's Leading. Let's just unite our hearts together, a word of prayer as we come the preaching of God's precious word. Father in heaven, we thank thee again for thy nearness, thy promise, Lord, where thou hast said, where the two or three are gathered together in thy name, there am I in the midst of them. We covet thy presence. We covet thy help, Lord, to give us that concentration that we need as we come to this passage, to instruct us, Lord, to give us help as we read these verses. And, O God, we pray that thou would, by thy Spirit, apply the word to each and every heart. Thou knowest, Lord, those who are thine. Thou knowest, Lord, those who need thy leading. Even right to this particular juncture in their life, Lord, we would say we all need that. Thou knowest, Lord, those that are unsaved, still rejecting Christ. We pray, Lord, even tonight that thou would, Lord, show them the way. Lift the scales from off their eyes. Lord, we pray that they might wind their way to Calvary's cross. They might be sure of Emmanuel's land one day, that which we've been singing about. O God, answer prayer. To that end, fill us with thy Spirit and with power. Touch us, Lord. Give us that help that we need from above. Help me to rightly divide thy truth. Help us to preach as thus, and thus saith the Lord. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It is obvious to us that the ministry of the Apostle Paul was greatly blessed. Wherever he went and whenever he commenced, particularly the second missionary journey, we are to read that the churches he revisited were established. That means that they were strengthened. They were encouraged. But don't miss out and don't forget about what it says at the end of verse 5. For it also tells us that they increased in number daily. You remember that time where the Lord was to feed the 5,000, besides the women and children. And you remember how it is the description of that time. The disciples were sent out after the feeding, and they were to gather up 12 basketfuls. And John, in his account, he describes it like this. He says that the fragments of bread which remained over and above. And that little phrase, over and above, is exactly the same word as the word increased in verse 5 of our passage. In other words, the increase was an abundance. It was over and above what they may have expected. And if it demonstrates us to us, or if it teaches us anything, then surely it must be the power that's in the Word of God. We said last time that this chapter is full of surprises. What a pleasant surprise to be introduced to Timotheus upon his return to Lystra. What a blessed encouragement that was for the apostle. When that place may have been remembered for the affliction and for the stoning that he received, now it was to be thought upon as a place of salvation. For Timothy was converted to Christ, even during the apostle's first missionary journey. But you know, men and women, surprises are not always pleasant. And the surprises that follow in chapter 16 are not all pleasant either. That becomes obvious to us when we get in a little further and we find Paul and Silas in the very dungeon in the prison house. But you know, it is also true of the verses that are before us tonight. One great question that is often asked of the preacher, we might say primarily by young people, and young people who have a desire to go on with God, but also by adults with the same desire. And that question is this: how do I know the will of God for my life? Preacher, you're heard speaking about betimes. God's will. God's will is good and it's acceptable and it's perfect. And I know that. I know that it says in, that in Romans 12, in that chapter. But how can I know it? How can I be sure that I'm in the center of God's will for my life? That, men and women, young people, is a very commendable question. It's a very valid question. It ought to be asked, and it ought to be the desire of every redeemed child of God to seek it out and to know it, for it is something that will impact upon our schooling. It'll impact upon our career choices and the way in which we would go. It most certainly will be a bearing upon our relationships and that partner for life if God desires it. And all of these things are important issues in our lives. And so we need to be sure that we're in the right place. Sometimes it is easier to illustrate something than to actually tell it. But we're about to do both, as we find the Apostle Paul on this part of this missionary journey. Paul, in reverse order, had revisited the cities of Derbe and Lystra and Iconium. These were the places throughout Phrygia and Galatia where the saints were gathered, where churches were established. But now, where does he go? What next for him? What next for the others in this mission team? That is what we're going to look at tonight as we consider the theme of God's leading. I want you to think upon the intention, first of all. The Lord, through the prophet Isaiah, reminds us that my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord of hosts. What we often imagine and think is the best way to go and the best thing to do is not always what God thinks. What we intend is not always God's intentions. And this mission team were no different. They had come from Antioch. They were traversing across the region that they had previously visited. And a glance at a map at the back of your Bible might be very good for you to do just at this juncture. No doubt you'll have a map at the back that speaks about or it shows Paul's missionary journeys. You find the line that it speaks about that second missionary journey and you'll be able to see where we are, for you'll see what their intentions was to do. Their intention was to evangelize in Asia. There is a part of your map that will indicate the region known as Asia. They had come through Galatia, and now it seemed that the most logical direction to take was south into Asia. What were they going to do in Asia? Look at verse 6. It says, now that when they had gone through out Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. They were going to preach the word. They had gone forth to build up the believers in their faith. It is important that there's growth. It is important that there's a going on with God in the walk with the Lord. The mission team desired to help the believers grow in grace, but they also sought for lost souls to be won for Christ. There was a work of evangelizing to do. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That was the great commission that the Lord gave to his church. There were disciples to be made in Asia. That was their intention. We might say that their motivation was right. It was proper. It was commendable. That must be the way in which they should go in order to carry out further the work of God, to see more added into Christ. But God says, my ways are not your ways. Then you'll notice the intention, and we'll be coming back to verse 6 in a moment or two. But you'll see the intention was that they should go and evangelize in Bithynia. I'll glance at that map again, and you will find that if you keep going towards the area known as Mysia, But it was while they were in that region of Mysia that the intention was directed to another area called Bithynia. And if Asia is to the south on their map, where Paul and the others were found to be, then you'll see that Bithynia is to the north. It made perfect sense. This surely was where the Lord would have them now to go to bring the gospel. The question that they were seeking to address is the very same question that a young person will ask, or an adult. What was the will of God for them? Where would the Lord have them to go next? The intention was to carry on the work. That was commendable. They were not put off by the afflictions. They were not put off even by what they might expect in going into these new regions. They were determined to do the work that the Lord had called them to, but they needed to know where they were meant to be. It must be in Bithynia then. But God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." What was the devil's intention for them? And you might think, "Preacher, you're going off the track now. You're being sidetracked, causing us to think about that." What has that got to do with seeking the will of God for the missionary team at this time? Do you not think that the devil has intentions also for the man or woman or young person of God who are serious about seeking to be in the center of God's will? Of course he has. And to show you that this thought is not out of place, I'm not in some pathway here that is diverse or divorced from this text, but rather I draw your attention to one particular word. That word you will find in verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. And the word that I'm homing you in on is the word essayed. They essayed to go to Bithynia. Now, take that word for a moment and come with me, and we'll see how it is translated in other places. You, for example, will find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and the words of verse 5. And it simply says there, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith." I don't need to go any further because the word is translated "examine." Examine yourselves. You see, at Mysia, the Apostle Paul and the others had opportunity to examine where they were heading. They were forced to examine the way in which they should go. Another verse where you'll find the same word is Hebrews 11 and verse 17. And there it is rendered as "tried." We were in verse 18 and 19 this morning. Abraham was being tried on the mount when it came to what God commanded him concerning his only son Isaac. Now, you bring that into the context of Acts chapter 16, and again at Mysia, the apostles had the opportunity to examine the possibility of going into Bithynia, which was to the north, or if you like, on their right-hand side, to where they had come from. They were tried as to whether they should go in that direction. And they were tried as to whether this was God's will for them to do. There are two renderings of the same word. But dear people, the vast majority of times that same word is said is used in the New Testament is rendered "tempted." In fact, there's 29 times over. Another two times it's translated as "tempter." And yes, that one that maybe comes afresh to your mind, the Lord being tempted in the wilderness, is one great example. But I want you to consider James 1 before we go any further. James 1 and verse 13, it says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Three times in that one verse, the same word is used. And that's why I've caused you to bring the devil into this intention. On every occasion on which the word is translated "tempted," it is in the context of the devil doing his work, or at least the devil's crowd. The devil tempted them to go into Bithynia. The devil sought that they would be taken off the right course. The devil intended that they would be waylaid into a bypath meadow. That's the sense. Oh, they had the right intentions. They had the right and correct motivations to preach the gospel. But the devil's instruction or the devil's intention was to take them out of that way, and take them away from God's will and into a place where they should never have been at that time. You know why? Because the devil will do anything to stop us going on with God, going on to the place of blessing. Is your intention to follow the Lord? Or is your intention to follow every whim of the devil and of the flesh tonight as you sit in the house of God? You see, that's why the exhortation the Apostle Paul makes to the believers in Galatia is so important and so applicable. For he says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Verse 25, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." The Spirit of truth will always lead us in the right way. Seek to know the mind of the Spirit for your life in these days. I trust that's your intention. But you know, we've got to go on, because you'll notice here the prohibition. Their intentions were good. Their motivation was correct to get on with the work of God for His glory. But we cannot read these verses and not see how they were prohibited from going in certain directions. And the prohibition is of the Spirit. It says in verse 6, if we come back to it, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." We're not exactly told how that was made clear to them. What is in view, however, is a strong word. They were forbidden. Forbidden to preach in the region in the south that was called Asia. It was God, the Holy Ghost, who forbid them. The sense of the word is, what is in mind here can be understood by how it is pictured elsewhere. And I want you to remember in that context, I want you to remember how the mothers of Salem, there's a little hymn in our hymn book that is based upon this passage in the Gospels. The mothers of Salem sought to bring the children to Jesus in order that He might touch them. And it was the disciples of the Lord who sought to stop them. And the picture there is that they were standing in the way. They were standing in the way of them getting the children to the Lord. Woe betide any parent. Woe betide any guardian who stands in the way of a child coming to Christ. The reply of the Lord to His disciples was, "Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto Me." The word "forbid" is the same as in our passage. When the intention of Paul and the others was to go to Asia to preach the word, the Holy Ghost stood in their way. He prevented them from doing so. It was not the leading of God's Spirit to go there. As the Lord stood in your way, take heed to it. Don't try to batter down the door. Then you'll also see that there was the shut door with this prohibition. The door was closed in going into Asia. And then when the intention was to go northward into Bithynia, we read that the Spirit suffered them not to go that way either. Verse 7. The Holy Ghost didn't permit them. He didn't permit them to do as they wished or pleased. There was a no-go area to the south. There was a shut door to the north. And if you look at the map, you'll see that they were not to turn to the left, and neither were they to turn to the right. that may remind you of another man. I'm thinking of Joshua. And after Moses died, Joshua was to lead the children of Israel. And yet we read in Joshua 1 verse 7, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commandeth thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." He was to walk in accordance to how God had stated. And the same principle was in evidence when Israel were brought out of the land of Egypt. They were brought in a direction that they may never have expected. It wasn't the nearest road. It wasn't the way in which they would have went. But God took them to the Red Sea. And Pharaoh and his armies are behind them, and the sea is in front of them. And of course, we know God, by his great power, opened up a way through which they could go through. You see, when God closes one door, he often shows another that he has opened. Has God shut a door in front of you of late? Then make sure that you don't use that as an excuse to stop serving the Lord. Paul wasn't to turn to the left. Paul wasn't to turn to the right. But he still was seeking to serve the Lord where he was at that time. You want to know God's will for your life? Then do what you know to be God's will for your life now. Now. That which you're already doing and seeking to do. Paul was already in the way. He just continued until the next step, until the next place was made clear to him. It's a wee bit like Abram's servant. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. And in this prohibition, there must be seen the sovereignty of God. The Lord knows all things. He knows what is best for his people. And at times, that will mean a door is closed. At another place, it'll mean the way is blocked up. But even in those prohibitive experiences, dear Christian, learn to be submissive. It's so easy to be misguided by the flesh. It's so easy to be misguided by a deceiving heart and by the wiles of the devil. It's easy to be mistaken into making the wrong turn, going in the wrong direction that has taken us out of the will of God and out of the place of blessing. And I'm very conscious that a preacher of that. That's something I fear. That I will be taken off the wrong road where I should be. Be submissive to the Lord's leading, even though his ways are not your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. How then we ought to be so thankful for those times in our own life where we could put those words of verse 7 over us. The Spirit suffered us not. How many times has God's Spirit done that for you and me? We thought that that was the road we should go down, but the Spirit suffered us not. He has prevented us from making a terrible mistake. And we've learned that it was the sovereign plan of God that has kept us from being distracted. And it might only be in eternity that we will fully see the prohibitions in our life and we will acknowledge then the sovereign hand of God upon us. Or in the words of the hymn we've just been singing, I'll bless the hand that guided. I'll bless the heart that planned. Where throne, where glory dwelleth, in Emmanuel's land. The prohibition are also part of God's sovereign leading. Paul, you're not going south into Asia. Paul, I don't want you to go to Bithynia to the north. the Spirit suffered them not. Paul, you're not even going to stay in Mysia. You see, I want you to see finally tonight the instruction where Paul, having come from the east and with Asia forbidden on the left and Bithynia closed door to the right, there's only one direction left. There's only one door left open to him. And that was straight on toward the west. Your map will show it. That's why your map details the course that Paul and the others, this mission team, took. You'll notice it brings them to the shoreline. And verse 8 tells us where it was. They passing by Mysia came down to Troas. And it was there that Paul was to receive instruction from the Lord. Notice the substance of that instruction in a night vision. There's a man of Macedonia, he prays, come over and help us. What sort of help was needed? Will you link verse 9 into what Paul says at the close of verse 10? He has called us for to preach the gospel unto them. The greatest help to anyone, the greatest help to any place, is to tell them of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul and the rest in the mission team believed that God had called them to preach the gospel in Macedonia, or if you like, in Europe, because that's what it was, part of a Greek territory. At Troas, it was made plain. It was made clear to them where they should go next. God had closed all other doors, and now he showed them the next step that they were to take. It would be that they would cross over the seas, that they might reach Macedonia. God ordinarily does not show you and I a way ahead of our lives. But he leads and he guides, often one day at a time, maybe even shorter. Why? So that we wouldn't walk by sight, rather that we'll walk by faith. And Paul, seeking the Lord's will where he should be, it wasn't Asia, it wasn't Bithynia. He just kept going, doing the work that he was doing until God brought him to Troas, and then he showed him. Men and women, when we read the words of verse 9, it stands out clearly what Paul had to do. And when God reveals his will to you and me, it is clear, and you'll know it. You'll know it. The night that the Lord called me into the ministry, I knew it clearly. I knew it very clearly. I knew it wasn't speaking to another man. It was speaking to me. It wouldn't have mattered if I'd have been the only one in that prayer meeting. The word came to me. You'll know it. And Paul, after he got saved, he didn't know what God's will was for him until those days later in that house in Damascus. And it was revealed unto him there that he was to be God's chosen vessel to bear his name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. You see, the submission to this instruction, obedience is better than sacrifice. Paul was to be obedient to that heavenly calling, as were the others. There was no dissension among them. You see, we read in verse 10, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. They had been careful in their consideration of this vision. They were absolutely sure that the Lord's will was not Asia, neither was it Bithynia, but it was to go into Europe. And they needed to be sure. And so does each of God's people. You need that assurance. Because even though we see and we know to be in the will of the Lord, that doesn't mean we're exempt from persecution. That doesn't mean that we're exempt from trouble or affliction. Paul and Silas, before this chapter is through, are found in the prison house in Philippi. But they're singing and they're praising the Lord. Why? Because they knew that they were in the will of God. They knew they were in the place where they should be. You'll notice there's an urgency now that they know the Lord's will. It states there that after seeing the vision immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. By the way, did you notice the pronoun change? It says, now we. Verse 10, having seen the vision immediately, we endeavored. Why is that? That's because Dr. Luke has joined them at Troas. He's the one that is the penman, the human penman who wrote the Acts of the Apostles. And he has now joined alongside the mission team. And so he uses the word we. They without delay sought to get to Macedonia. Verse 11, they came with a straight course. There's no time to waste. God had revealed the direction of travel and they're on it. They sailed from the port of Troas to an island. That island is called Samothracia. I presume that they stayed overnight there, and then the next morning they finished the journey right across to Neapolis. I wonder, are you submissive to what God wants you to do? Mightn't be something very glorious, mightn't be seen by many people, but the Lord wants you to do it. He has shown you where He wants you to be. And be submissive. It's better to obey. Understand also about this instruction that it shows they were sensitive to God's leading. The door was open. They entered, such was their willingness to go through it, and eventually they're found in Macedonia. From the coast, they made their way inland approximately 10 miles. They came there to the chief city that is called Philippi. It's spoken there in those words as a colony, verse 12. It was a place where Roman citizens were found to be living. And they were living there because they enjoyed the privileges just as if they were back in Rome. It was a stronghold for Rome. It was a strategic area, and it was called a colony. And Paul and the team knew where the will of God was. Now they had to learn the when, and they had to learn the how of God's will. They were sensitive to the leading of God's Spirit, and what an important, pivotal moment this ought to be in every one of our hearts when we consider that the spread of the gospel has now reached Europe. We're part of Europe. God has been merciful to this part of the world. But surely it enforces upon us the need for us to be guided by the Spirit. How dependent we are to be upon the leading of the Holy Spirit every day. No greater example of that than the Savior Himself. He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. He returned from the wilderness in the power of the Spirit after those temptations. He was sensitive to the will of His Heavenly Father, even though it meant Him going to the cross of Calvary to lay down His life for sinners such as we. And there, men and women, He finished the work. And He has purchased for us the indwelling of the Spirit at the very point of conversion, for He told us that He would not leave us comfortless. He would not leave us as orphans, but another Comforter would come. And that Comforter only the people of God know. For the Holy Spirit only dwells within the people of God, redeemed and saved by God's grace. May God enable us in these days to be more sensitive to His leading. To His leading. For we know, and you can rest assured in this, we know that He will never lead us astray. We know that the Holy Spirit will never lead us into sin. You know that. He is God. What we must learn is this. It must be, my will be gone, if thy will be done. part of the pattern prayer the Lord gave. But it must be, "My will be gone, if thy will be done." May God bring us, each and every one, to that place where we're sensitive to his leading and we're obedient to his calling. We say, "Not our will, but thine be done." Dear loved one, if you're not saved tonight, it is our desire, it is our will that you would come to Christ. You would seek the Lord while you may be found. You'll find him at Calvary. Will you not come by faith there this evening? Cast your all upon him and receive you for time, for all eternity. I pray that you will. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer in closing. God bless his word to each of our souls this night for his own name's sake. Father in heaven, we thank thee again for thy word. Thank the Lord for this great instruction of God's leading, even seen in the life of the Apostle Paul and those others. And Lord, how the door was closed, how the Spirit forbid them to preach in Asia, suffer them not to go to Bithynia. Yet, Lord, thou didst guide and thou didst show the way when they got to Troas. And there was an obedience, for immediately they endeavored to go to Macedonia. Lord, we pray there might be a soul tonight that will say, "Preacher, help me. Help me. Lost in sin, held by many a snare, just following the wiles of the devil and the deception of the heart and of the flesh. Need Christ. Will you help me?" Speak, Lord, I pray, when the preacher's voice is silent. Oh, God, bring souls to thyself. Bless thy people. Lord, may we know thy leading in these days. Bless our young people. They might desire to know God's will for their life. Lord, we pray that thou would give us the grace to follow. Oh, hear and answer our prayer. Accept of our thanks for thy presence with us today. Bless us as we part for a little season now. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And for God's eternal glory.